was about a little over a decade ago on a Christmas Eve here in this church when I got a call from my wife, Kathy. She was in Illinois in a hospital with her mother. And the call came and she said, "They say she may not make it. Could you come?" Christmas Eve was on a Sunday that year, and so I preached in the morning, called the session together right after church, those that were here. There was a quorum, by the way. And they gave me permission to go, and we actually found a pastor to come preach that night. I think that's what happened. I wasn't here because they sent me on, and I loaded kids in the car. We packed Christmas in the car, drove the 6 hours to Hinsdale, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, to Hinsdale Hospital. I've been in hospitals many a time, of course, as a pastor and as a chaplain in training in my early days. There was never quite a feeling like entering the hospital that time. We made our way up to the floor where Kathy's mom, Marie, was, came out of the elevator. And I swear the heavenly choirs were singing. I will tell you, though, it wasn't the heavenly choirs. Kathy's family is very musical. And they sing like angels. And so but we could tell right where the room was by the voices we heard, and we walked down the hall, and it was filled with Kathy's family, and they were singing Christmas carols that night. There are moments in one's life one knows that they are in the presence of God, and that was one of those moments. This Advent season, I have been offering suggestions on what to give for Christmas this year. And I have purposely chosen gifts that you don't have to go out and buy. That way, if you still haven't purchased all the gifts you were planning to buy, these you can get without going to the store today or tomorrow. Or probably even better, even if you bought all the gifts you're going to give, these are ones you can give in addition to those. And these are gifts like the gift of encouragement that I suggested on the first Sunday of Advent. On the second Sunday, I suggested we give the gift of listening. Last Sunday was the gift of forgiveness. And this Sunday, I thought maybe I would encourage you to give the gift of faith stories. Of course, there's a challenge in suggesting people to give the gift of a faith story, is that a lot of us don't understand what we're talking about when we say that. What exactly is a faith story, and do I really have one? And yet I would suggest you would. You just might. For a faith story is really just any encounter in which we can sense the presence of God in a powerful way, like in the hospital room in Hinsdale on Christmas Eve. I had a person tell me that they were driving down the road after a storm and saw a beautiful rainbow, and they just had to pull over. They could not drive any further, because the beauty of that rainbow was so awe-inspiring that they knew that they were seeing the hand of God at work. That's a faith story. A faith story may be a moment when somebody stops by your house. And in that moment, you share a meaningful experience. Happened to a deacon I once knew at a previous church. Went to visit a member and spent an hour and a half there. Because that member was so distraught. The deacon told me afterwards, I didn't know what to say, but thank God, God was in the room with me. That's a faith story. Faith story is those moments when you sense God's presence. The story of Zechariah that Janet read this morning is a faith story as well. Or at least Zechariah had a faith story to tell. You might remember from a few weeks ago, the first part of the Zechariah story was that he, as the husband of Elizabeth, was told by an angel that he would become the father. Of course, he and Elizabeth were in their old age, well past childbearing age, and so he doubted what the angel told him, and so the angel struck him mute so that he might learn to appreciate what God was telling him. And so we pick up the story this morning, and the baby is born. And Elizabeth says, we got to name him John, even though all the friends and relatives say, no, that's not what you're supposed to name him. And they turned to Zechariah and said, is your wife gone crazy? What do you want to name the child? And he writes down, his name is John. And then suddenly he can speak. And he speaks in a very poetic way of his experience of God, of God's work in the world, and particularly through his son, John. One can imagine that through the years, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth told and retold this story. And that's a faith story. We may not be as poetic as Zechariah. In fact, we often can't find any words to describe how we encounter God, and yet we have those encounters in one way or another. And it is those encounters with God that is a gift that should be given, for there is a hunger for it. In the first scripture that Janet read from the book of Acts, we have a story of Philip, one of the apostles, who was told by the Spirit to wait by the side of the road, and there, coming down the road, is an Ethiopian who happens to be reading scripture, the book of Isaiah, actually. For you see, he hungers for God, and yet doesn't know how or where to find him, but he's trying. Philip, who as a disciple of Jesus has had a profound encounter with God, is told to join him. And together, they share their stories. The Ethiopian, his story of trying to understand what God is all about. Philip, sharing what he has learned from his encounter with Jesus. And that's all a faith story is. Wow, this happened. And I know God was present there. We might start with identifying those moments in which we've sensed God's presence. They might be big, dramatic moments like a rainbow. They may be quiet moments in prayer. They may be moments where you've witnessed something that you know you haven't witnessed before and are likely to witness again. That happened to me once as a chaplain in a hospital. A man was dying in the hospital, and he was surrounded by his family, a big Hispanic family. They were all in the room. They waited there, weeping, not much talking, murmuring maybe. I had the privilege of being in that room with them. And when that patriarch's final breath came, there was just silence in the room. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to say. I didn't know what to do, what to say. And then a child in that room, could have been no more than 5, went up to the bed, reached as high as he could, grabbed the arm and said, "Goodbye, Papa." And everyone there could say, "Goodbye, Papa." And I knew at that moment that chaplains are pretty useless. Except when they depend on God. For those are God moments. And those are faith stories. And so we identify those moments that may have happened to us or we witness where God is present in our lives. And then we try to articulate what those moments were like. If it was an event, we can try to describe the event. If it was a feeling, we can try to find words to describe that feeling and describe the impact that that moment had on you and on others and on the world. And I would guess most of us have, not just one of those moments, but many of those moments when we know God is present. Many of us have those moments here in this church on Christmas Eve, in the music, in the prayers, in the singing of Silent Night, in the lighting of candles. And you say, "God must be here." And after we determine and remember those moments, those faith stories, we need to decide who needs to receive that gift. I would suggest that probably the most important people to receive that gift are children and grandchildren, particularly if they are stories in the family lore. Children and grandchildren need to hear the stories of faith within the family. Friends also, especially those who you can sense are hungry for God, to hear a story in which God's presence was made real to you as a way of encouragement to them. Your church friends. Another place to share our faith stories is here. A place where we can tell each other how we've encountered God and appreciate how others have done the same. Years ago at my previous church, I was on a youth fellowship on a mission trip. They had a fairly large youth group, and they went on this mission trip every year. It was full of energy and excitement. They went and, repaired houses, that sort of hard work mission, encountered people, the owners of the house. During the week, we encourage the youth to identify when they've sensed God's presence. And then on the final night, we're coming home. We stayed in a church on the way home, stayed in the church basement. Pastor of that church came down and welcomed us. and then hung around, I guess, just to see, make sure everything was all right as we needed as we had our closing worship service. The seniors were invited to share where they encountered God this week, and one after another, each of the seniors told a powerful story of where they encountered God, whether it was in talking with the owners of the home, whether it was in a worship experience during the week, maybe it was just in getting help as they were doing their particular job on the house. They were powerful stories, and all of us, we didn't have a dry eye among us as they recounted this week and God at work as they were in work. And just as we were finishing up and wrapped it up with a hymn, we noticed in the back corner of that big room, the pastor of that church emerged. He had been listening the whole time, but in the back shadows, I didn't notice him. I don't know if anybody else noticed him. But he came out, and there were tears in his eyes. And he said, "Before you leave, I need to share something with you." He said, "I have been having a very, very tough time over the last few months. So tough, I wondered if I really should continue being a pastor." And he said, "But listening to your stories reminded me how close God is to me. I just haven't taken the time to look." And that's the power of a faith story, isn't it? That in sharing our encounters with God, we help others have their encounters with God. I hope you can find your faith stories and share them as a gift this Christmas. Amen.